B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Were you disappointed that the Patriots maybe didn't make more of an effort to bring you back or maybe show some more appreciation given all you've accomplished for the team?
No, I have a great deal of respect for, you know, there's nobody who's been a bigger fan of the New England Patriots than me. So I have nothing but total respect and love. And, you know, I'm so grateful to Mr. Kraft and the organization and Coach Belichick and all the coaches and obviously all my teammates. It's been a lot of days responding to a lot of incredible text messages from my teammates, from former teammates, from just a lot of the great people that I've got to meet over the years. And I have so many great relationships that, you know, will be maintained. And, you know, that's, I think, the greatest gift that football has brought me is the relationships that I've had with so many of the people I've worked with. So it'll be certainly different. But at the same time, you know, that's the way life can be at times. And what won't be different is my approach to the game, my approach to what my roles and responsibilities are. And I'm going to go out and do the best I can every day to put our team in a position to win.
Rearview mirror?
I do, yes. Yeah. As I was saying, it's one of the great driving with the windows down songs of all time.
Saw things so much clearer once you were in my rearview mirror. Tom Brady, Patriots in his rearview mirror, Felger and Maz.
Very good.
On a Tuesday, March 24th, Big Jim Murray and Felger here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz, on remote. We're presented by DraftKings again here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Tom Brady met with the media in Tampa today via conference call. That was a cut with Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald. And so let's get into this. Your reaction to how Tom Brady sounded today? Your thoughts on how his tone was? Because, again, he didn't offer much in terms of substance on his answers, but some of the questions were asked and how he carried himself. And, Maz, just what were your general impressions?
Okay, so first of all, generally speaking, as we all know, Brady is smooth when it comes to this sort of thing. So I think he chose his words carefully. But at the core of it, and he said this a bunch of times, you know, that he was going to face some challenges in learning terminology, meeting up with his teammates, that sort of thing, given especially all the coronavirus issues that are going on. So here's what I sense from him. There's a little bit of anxiety with Brady moving into a new environment, moving into a new situation. And I think this is consistent with who Brady was, generally speaking, during his time with the Patriots, that when there were these dramatic changes along the way, whether it was the trading of Logan Mankins or these sorts of things, that Brady didn't necessarily respond well always to these disruptions in his day-to-day life, his day-to-day routine, and now he's making the biggest change of all. And yet, I think this is going to be a good thing for him, and here's why. Because I think Brady is now putting it on himself to learn a new offense, learn new teammates, develop chemistry, all this sort of thing, and he's now consumed with the challenge of doing it all as opposed to taking it out on N'Keal Harry for not knowing the offense. In other words, he'd gotten to the point here where the day-to-day operation did not challenge him anymore other than the coach. That's sort of a separate thing, and I think we've hit on that part consistently, and I still think that that is the preeminent story, that Brady had enough of Belichick. But in terms of the football for Brady, he's going to be focused on all these new things he has to learn, so he's not going to have time to get pissed off at N'Keal Harry anymore, and I think that's going to be a good thing for him.
So I just, about the tone today, the one of these, kind of comparable that I remember was Brett Favre. When he left Green Bay, they traded him, okay? They traded him, and they traded him to the Jets. He wanted to keep going. He wanted to pick his team. He wanted to go to Minnesota so he could shove it up the Packers' butt and prove him wrong, and so that's where he wanted to go, and Ted Thompson, the GM at the time, wouldn't let him call a shot like that. So he shipped him to the AFC, and he shipped him to the freaking Jets. And I remember Favre's introductory press conference in New York holding up the Jets jersey, and I could almost hear him say it through his gritted teeth, which was, "What the hell did I just do?" Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, my God, I can't believe I just did this. What am I doing? Do you get any sense with that, Brady, today?
I mean, what we do is read into tone. He didn't sound as up as I thought he would be. So yeah, maybe a little bit, you know,
so like what the hell did I just do? And it's not, so he's home in Manhattan. And so it's not like he's there in Tampa holding up the jersey, but I just wonder, was there any of that underlying his tone?
And maybe it's just the realization that after 20 years, he is going to be playing somewhere else. And that somewhere else is maybe the most low-rent franchise in all of professional sports, not just the NFL. And look, there's a weight on all of us because of the state of the world, so maybe that's what it was. But I expected him to be, I don't know, a little bit more like, "Hey, guys, yeah." Like, it was kind of right down the middle. And there was way too much high road for my taste. Not that I should be surprised. I mean, he's a classy dude. He's going to continue to say the right thing and do the right thing, and he's not going to take shots. But I would have liked a shot here or there.
Right? How about
you did kind of leave based on a spiteful decision here, Tom. Take a shot or two, especially when you're being asked about the end of your tenure here.
I'm with you. Can you give me how about an answer to what Belichick did in his statement?
Right.
Saying goodbye. You know, regardless of how it ended, it doesn't put an end on his spectacular career, which is a shot there from Bill subtly in his statement. Could Brady have done anything like that? You know, he was given the chance. The Boston guys were on this. Let's run number six, Jimmy, the Q&A with Jeff Howe. So, you know, as you'll hear here, Brady was given the chance.
Taken for you to stay in New England. What would it have taken for you to stay in New England?
Well, you know, again, I'm not. I don't want to talk about the past because that's not relevant to what's, you know, important in my, you know, future and what's going on this offseason for me. And like I said, I had nothing but two decades of an incredible experience and
learning from some of the best players and the best coaches and the ownership of the team. And, you know, I think for all of us, you know, things in life can change and you got to be able to adapt and evolve. And with each of those changes become different opportunities to learn and grow. And that's where I'm at. And, you know, anytime you leave somewhere, it's very emotional. And I've had my, you know, it's been, you know, the transition was, I would say, is very emotional with a lot of guys that I've talked to that I've shared the field with, because, you know, the relationships are what matter most to me. And, you know, I'm going to be friends with my teammates, my former teammates and coaches for the rest of my life. And, you know, that's not going to leave just because I'm wearing a different jersey. But at the same time, for me, the new jersey I'm wearing, you know, I'm prepared to give them the every bit of commitment that I've had my entire career to be the best I could be to help this team be the best it could be. And I did say there's not one person that, you know, that makes a team. It's every single person doing their job every day that's committed and determined to be the best. And, you know, I'm a very disciplined, you know, quarterback. I try to, you know, follow through on, you know, the things that I'm committed to, and I try to work every day to be the best I could be, and that's what I'm going to try to push my teammates to do. And I'm just excited to get started.
Okay, so I don't know if you can read into that, Maz, but I'm going to call bullcrap on one thing he did say there. Some emotional conversations with his teammates. Who?
Julian.
Who? Right, one. Okay, right.
That's it.
Who? Who else?
The McCourties.
I mean,
Devin.
Yes, sure.
Matthew Slater.
Defense, offense. Maybe his center, maybe an offensive lineman or two. Like, does he have any peers or friends or guys that he's connected with on this team anymore, Maz?
No, so look, I think it's limited. I mean, Edelman's an obvious one, right? That one's a given. I think Edelman was absolutely true. And there's a shot. I agree with, you know, McCourty. I think that's a good one, too. So technically, he might have been right. It might have been plural. But I think also there was a disconnect with him and his teammates. And this is what I mean, that I think in some ways, here's what I sense, and I don't totally disagree with the comparison you made with Favre. I think there's some anxiety there. And if that is uncertainty, like, what did I just do? As you were pointing out, I think that's part of it. I think it's, boy, do I really want to do this? I don't know what I'm getting myself into. And he clearly, look, there were a couple of interesting things that I thought he said. First of all, the first comment he made, and I'm just going through my notes here.
Hey, Maz.
Yeah.
Would you hold it for 1 second?
Of course.
Okay. So more impressions of his press conference today. I think the fact that it was remote, allowed him to be a little more remote. If he was actually in Tampa in the big sombrero holding that stupid jersey, would we really see the look on his face as if to say, what the hell did I just do? And how do you feel about it? How do you feel about it, Boston? Hearing him talk for the first time as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what were your impressions, Maz's impressions, and your calls? Jimmy, you may release the hounds, please, now that they're all disinfected and wiped down. It's 617-779-0985. More of this right after these words.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Hi, Tom. Congratulations.
Thanks, Karen. I'm going to miss you.
I'll miss you, too. When in your mind did you officially cut the cord with the Patriots, and how hard was it to tell Robert and the Patriots you were moving on?
It was really, you know, the night that I had stopped by and seen, I spoke with Mr. Kraft and asked if I could come over and see him. And we spoke and we had a great conversation. You know, and I just wanted to express, you know, what he's meant to me in my life. And And we spoke with Coach Belichick at the same time. We were at different locations, so we talked to him, and it was a great conversation. And got a chance to talk to Jonathan Kraft as well. And, you know, all three of those guys have been involved in so many important decisions in my life, but career-related, personal-related. And, you know, I leave there with just great admiration for the people in that organization. And it's a great, it's a world-class, first-class organization in every way. And I wanted to leave it that way, too. So I know the Patriots have a great team. They always do. They have great players, great leadership, great coaches. And, you know, I certainly wish them the best. But for me, you know, I've got to transition and focus on the opportunity that I have to, you know, make the current situation I'm in as best I possibly can. And, you know, they hired me to do a job here, and I'm going to go in there and do it like you've always seen me do for a long time. Like, you know, the fans have always seen me do, like opposing coaches, my teammates have seen me do. And I'm going to give it everything I got, like I've done everything in my life for as long as I've been playing this sport.
Again, Tom Brady from today. Just our little takeaways. Got to read deep into it. Just one tiny little takeaway there is that, you know, it was reported after those that Monday meeting with Kraft that Brady also spoke with Belichick, also had a call with Belichick. Well, it turns out Robert got him on the line.
Right.
Like your wife passing around the phone. Talk to Aunt Millie. Emma, come in here. Say hello to your Aunt Millie. Come in here. Say hello to your Aunt Millie. Emma, get in here. Say hello. And it's like, I wonder if that was a call between Brady and Bill where Kraft did that thing where he passed around the phone and said, Tom, you got to talk to your Aunt Millie. And in this case, it's Bill Belichick. So that's just one little takeaway, Maz. What else you got?
Well, yeah, no question. I mean, that stuck out to me, too, because it changes the dynamic. And you can see how Kraft, whether it was on a speakerphone or passing around the receiver or whatever, Kraft clearly was facilitating the interaction between the two of them. That's what stuck out to me, is that Robert had to get in the middle and mediate a little bit or a lot. And so, look, the whole thing was weird. I mean, when it started, and I heard Brady talking to Tampa, I thought, this is so surreal. The whole thing is surreal. And look, Brady clearly chose his words carefully. And I think, and listening to the cut we just played, what it also affirmed for me that, yeah, Brady is just way more tactful than Bill. It's not even close. He just will take the high road, and he'll be way more diplomatic, even when he's angry or even when he's pissed off at the coach. He'll be better about it than Bill would be, at least publicly. But there were some really awkward moments. Like, again, I was saying, I went through it. Yeah, I was taking notes as the thing was going on. The first question Brady got was, how can you change things in Tampa Bay? And he wanted to say, well, we did a lot of winning in New England. I think that was the essence of his answer. And he said, well, you know, obviously with where I've been. And it struck me that he wouldn't say New England. He said, where I've been. It's like he doesn't even want to, you know, he doesn't want to throw New England in the face of the people in Tampa Bay. He doesn't want to acknowledge that there was this long bond with the Patriots. And so I found him over and over again choosing his words really carefully. And look, from his perspective, I suppose that's smart, but I have no doubt that he was pissed off for 2 years. And, you know, when Karen Garigian asked him, at what moment did you sever the cord? And he said, well, when I went over Kraft's house, formally, that's when it's happened. But I think he distanced himself from the organization and started to disconnect a long, long time ago.
Okay, yeah, as you just heard in that cut, he called him they. We're starting to pick through our reaction to Brady. First official words as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. What are yours? At 617-779-0985. Dave in Plymouth, lead us off.
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know, trying to put my hands around the fact that he's a Buck. I mean, that's number one. But number two, it's funny because you can see the Belichick influence in him in terms of choosing his words. You know, I'm on to Tampa. You know, don't talk to me about what happened in New England, even though it's the greatest legacy maybe in the history of sports, and he doesn't want to refer to it. To me, that's what's stunning about it, is that, and maybe, okay, maybe that's for Tampa's fan base. Do they really care? I mean, that fan base is, you know, they hang out in pirate ships, for God's sake. So, I mean, do they really care, Mike?
No, you know, I mean, about the team, about football, about sports?
Just about, well, all of it. Well, just all of it. I mean, it seems to me, I mean, I was talking to a guy from Tampa. We're hockey buddies, right? So we basically go back and forth with the Lightning and the Bruins. And I just sort of casually mentioned, you know, how is this going to change with Brady there? And he said, you know, it will change, like, in the short term, but if they don't win, it won't be great.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a culture shock inside and outside the building. Did I hear Beadle and Zolak, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, say today that they actually locked the building on Tuesday? You know, that's the players' off day across the league, where players are allowed to take off and teams generally take it off. Did someone say today that Arians actually locks the building?
I don't know. I can't speak to that, but I wouldn't doubt it.
Like, that's how serious is that? Is it,
Mark says he said it in jest.
Oh, too bad. Anyway, sounds like him. Sounds like Bruce Arians. It might be.
He screamed at me. Mark screamed at me. It might be true.
But, like, you know, that feels like the culture that Bruce Arians has inside the building. And the culture outside the building, it's freaking Florida, Yeehaw Junction. Like, you know, nothing matters. And so I think Brady's going to have an adjustment to that. We continue with your thoughts. Here's Mal in West Hartford. Go ahead, Mal.
Oh, thanks very much for putting me on. Listen, you know, the thing that concerns me is, and I love Tom Brady. I think he's the greatest player that ever played for the Patriots. But I want to tell you something. I think that both sides won in this case, and here's why. First of all, Dante Scarnecchia is gone now, and he was really the guru of that offensive line. So who would be protecting Brady's blind side? The defense is falling apart. They're going to have to rebuild there.
Mal.
Tom lost trust in these young receivers.
He refused
to throw to them.
I got to cut you off.
So okay. I think that there was a lot going on here.
How did the Patriots win? I have to cut you off. I just can't. He's going to go on for 2 minutes and not stop. Sorry. Is that rude?
No, not at all.
I'm sorry. I was rude to a caller. I can't. He was just going
to
keep going.
I need to apologize.
Two minutes and give me the full background. I got. No, we know it. We got it.
Starting a lawnmower.
What's the point? Is there a point in there? There was no take. It was a background. It was like a feature story. I know. I got it. No, we know all that. How did the Patriots win in this? How did the Patriots win in this?
Okay, so to me, where it's good for the Patriots is that they get to turn the page and start the process again. And they don't have to hold on to Brady for another year and delay it further. To me, I said throughout this thing that I thought it was going to be best for everybody. Now, in the short term, the Patriots are going to bleed a little, and they might bleed more than I thought, but we'll get more to that later. In the short term, though, it was time to move on from Brady. So the cord got severed, and at least they can start with a quote-unquote rebuild.
Okay, but as you'll hit on a little bit later, it's not like they're set up for the next guy. So, I mean, I think it's closer to say they both lost. I mean, Brady's got to go to freaking Tampa. Tampa. How is that a win for him?
It isn't.
I mean, if he turns him into a Super Bowl champion, it'll turn into a win. But as you stand here today, it doesn't feel like a win for Brady, that's for sure. I think the Pats are doing the right thing, but it's not exactly like they're set up with the next guy. This isn't 3 years ago when they had Jimmy Garoppolo sitting there. So I don't feel like a win to them. I think it's closer to say they both lost. And I was rooting for it because I think it's a more interesting story and I want to see these guys prove themselves and all of that. But the way it's all shaken out, how could you say they both won? Jimmy and Dedham, go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, business is business, Mike. Tom did the best thing for him. Kraft, you know, the Kraft organization used and abused him for 20 years, and he's had enough. Honest to God, it just wears thin after a while. And you know what? Good luck to Tom, and I guarantee you, if he don't win the Super Bowl, he'll be in the divisional championship game in the NFC. Give him a couple of games to be happy, and he'll be all set. You know, and the Patriots, I hate to say it, but they might go back to the John Stevens days for a couple of years.
Okay, John Stevens. We'll see. I don't think it's going to be that bad with Belichick as coach. I just don't. I don't. When was John? Was John Stevens like? Was that Dick McPherson? Was that era?
Oh God, sounds like that was a long time ago.
So I think coaching's too good for you to fall that far. So I don't think that's going to happen with you. Do you blame Brady for leaving, Mass?
I don't blame him, no, because I think that Tom Brady doesn't owe anybody anything here. So blame him, no. I blame him for going to Tampa. I don't blame him for leaving because, he asked for free agency. I think he had a right to go there. Like a certain amount of what the Kraft said, Mike, about Brady at the end, that he has the right to decide when he finishes, given his body of work, I generally believe that. Now, the rules would have prohibited it. The Crafts would have were willing to grant him that, rather. And I give the Crafts credit for that. I think that Brady earned that right. I blame him for picking Tampa, but I don't blame him for leaving.
The only part I blame him for is this business about he wanted Bill to show him the love. Like, I wish he was a little tougher than that. And that's easier for me to say. I haven't worked for Bill Belichick for 20 years. I know that's a tough ask. And that's a tough, those are a tough 20 years. But it brought out the best in you, and it brought out the best in everybody. So at the end of the day, it was what was best for everyone in terms of what you say you care about the most, which is winning. So why couldn't you just put up with that for a couple more years? You needed Bill to get on his knees and kiss your ass. And like that's the only part I blame him for, and I'm not on board. I'm fully on board with the financial stuff and the contract stuff. If he felt like he was owed a commitment from that team and he shouldn't let Robert off the hook there because he ultimately signs the checks. If it was a business decision that I have a better contract, a better team, a better situation after what I have in New England, then that's fine. That's a decision. That's business. Point A to point B. I get it. But the whole business about I want to feel appreciated. Would you stop with this? You need more ass kissing. That I do blame him for. We continue with your impressions of Brady today, meeting the Tampa media, meeting all the media for the first time as a Tampa Bay Buck. We continue with it after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, Tom, also, I know Joe Montana was your guy when you were growing up. How did it strike you as a fan of his to see him leave the 49ers after so many years? And in what ways do you relate to how Joe finished his career with another team after so many years with the 49ers?
I was at Joe's last game at Candlestick Park. I actually went up there and saw it with my friend, and I'll never forget that. So he was an incredible player. He and Steve Young were my quarterback idols growing up. And, I just think life, it continues to change for all of us. And, just having the opportunity for me to continue to play football and, lead a team is something that, I love doing, and I've loved playing the sport since I was a kid, since I was throwing footballs in the parking lot at Candlestick, and I still love doing that today. And, I train hard. I try to keep my body as, physically fit as possible. Mentally, I try to stay sharp, although it's going to be a different challenge this year in learning. But, I'm going to do everything I can to do the best I possibly can. And I'm just excited to, to embrace this opportunity and see it for what it is, which is, a lot of guys that, have been a part of this team that, they want to be the best they can be and they want to achieve, the highest goal. And I've been very fortunate to be a part of that. And there's no way to do it. And you can't talk your way into it. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of commitment. And it's a lot of people that are just aligned trying to do the right thing. So, again, I don't know when our first, OTA will be, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of guys that, I'm excited to meet, and, I'm going to try to get the best out of myself and try to get the best out of them. And, it's all going to be dependent on, the guys in this, in the building and the facility to make it happen.
So a couple things there. Brady's looking forward to the first OTA. That's nice. That's another thing I blame him for. I do. They said, do you blame Brady? One, you want Bill to kiss your ass? I'm not on board with you on that, Tom. And the way it kind of checked out, And not, it wasn't a total checkout. Like, I don't want to, you know, go too far with it. But by your standards, by Tom Brady's standards, there was a little bit of a checkout there the last couple of years. And they won a Super Bowl in one of them. So somehow they managed that. But I do blame them for that. So that's one little piece to it. The second thing, I thought it was a good question about Joe Montana. You know, I think Joe Montana going to Kansas City made it more palatable for Tom to go, because he had that historical precedent. And it didn't ruin Joe Montana's legacy and didn't change how people thought of him. And I don't want to say it's largely forgotten, but it's a footnote. The Kansas City thing, which was actually mildly successful, he went to an AFC title game,
yeah,
is more of a footnote to Joe Montana. And I think that emboldens Brady Maz to go to Tampa Bay.
Oh, no question. I mean, the fact that this has happened, let alone to his hero, you know, his childhood hero, made it clear to him that it's doable, right? And again, it's something his father drilled into his head. Hey, Joe had to go play somewhere else too. And I think Brady's been building towards this for years. The comment I'm laughing about is the OTA's comment, because he goes out of his way to say that. Like, if you listen to the answer, he could have just said, whenever we get on the field, or, but he wanted to say, I don't know when OTAs are, just to let everyone know that, yep, I'm going to show up. If, you know, if we have OTAs, I'll be there. To me, that's the closest he came to taking a dig at the Patriots, because he went out of his way to say OTAs.
Yep, and I think the Pats, or a Pats fan, has a right to be a little agitated by that. Just a little. Kyle and Taunton, your thoughts.
Hey, Felger, Maz, thanks for having me on, guys. First time caller, long time listener.
Welcome.
Three takeaways, right? So where TV12 goes, I go, number one. Always a Patriots fan. And number three, Pats Nation is at shock. If you were Tom Brady, what would you have done? And does this help his brand in the long run?
So if I were Tom Brady, I would have stayed. Because that's just me. I'm kind of like, I don't know. I mean, it's easy for me to say. Like, I don't want to act like I got the like all the answers or anything. I just think I would have grinded it out. I can.
You're a punch the clock guy. You don't let your emotions get the best of
you. I'm a punch the clock guy. I can show up every day and grind it out with the best of them, I like to think. And so I think I could do that. I think I could have done that, and I think I would have done it if I were Tom Brady. I'm not blaming him for it. I mean, I think some of the reasons were the wrong reasons. Emotion, ego, that sort of thing. That's how you shouldn't make a big life decision like that. But I understand why he did. And if it was purely business, then I understand it more. But I just think it was more than purely business.
I don't hold it against him. His last question, though, what's it mean for his legacy? I don't think much, even if he goes there and falls on his face, because he has the easy out of, well, what do you expect? He's 43 years old. It's a completely different system. And it's the Tampa Bay Bucks, and they've forever been a loser, and they just infected him with loser.
The legacy risk is on Belichick. He's got a much bigger risk to his legacy, which we'll get into in a second. Matt and Braintree, go ahead.
That did not sound like a guy who just signed for $60 million. He clearly just wanted to stick at the craft in the way that you've described 100 times about how he wanted to just say, yeah, I'm not coming back. And what's really going to kick him in the balls is when he's down in Tampa Bay and he's on an OTA or something like that, and maybe in the locker room in a team meeting, and someone doesn't take something the way he thinks they should, and he just sits there and goes, oh, my God, this was a mistake. This is why everyone in New England comes here and says, oh, it's not like this anywhere else. I think that's what's going to bother him the most, is when he comes to the realization of, like, oh, my God, this place sucks.
I'm in Tampa, Maz. Do you remember we read a Curran? I think it was in a Tom Curran column a couple weeks ago, where Tom Curran was quoting someone from the Patriots side who said something along the lines of, it's going to feel good for Tom to give Bill the finger in the short term and tell him to, you know, screw in the short term. But in the long term, it's not going to be the right spot for him. When that wears off, he's going to realize he made a mistake. I think it was something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I think there might be some truth to that.
Oh, I don't think there's any question that there's going to be some of that. Now, the only way a lot of that goes away is if they win right out of the chute. If all of a sudden they win and Brady's playing well, and then a lot of that will go away. But look, there's going to be, at some point here, it's only human nature. He's going to wake up and see the reality of it, which is that he's now playing for the freaking Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So now again, if the team plays well, a lot of it will get masked. Here's the other thing that has occurred to me with Brady down there, because he was talking about the Tampa offense today. What if they don't protect him? What if they don't protect him the way that Bill did? Because Brady, the ball came out fast here. For all of the pressure he was under, relatively speaking, in the last couple of years, he still didn't take a ton of bad hits. Like, what I think in some ways would be really embarrassing for Brady if he goes down there and gets hurt. in some way because they didn't protect him, that will look bad.
We continue with your thoughts in our long commercial-free segment right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good. Hey, Tom. Congrats on signing with Tampa Bay and starting your new journey down there.
Thanks,
have
Ben.
I have a question about your leaving New England, your departure here. Robert Kraft did several interviews the other day or whenever that was when you left. Stating that this was really what you wanted, that leaving New England was what you wanted, and that if you had wanted to come back to the Patriots, that they would have made a deal happen, but that you leaving and you wanting to start elsewhere was what you wanted to do. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, yeah, again, I'm not responsible for, how other people, will say certain things. I think Mr. Kraft has, been a great influence in my life, and I'm so grateful for, two decades, I referenced that the other day. It's been an amazing thing for my family, and I'm sure when I'm done playing, I'll look back and have a chance to really reevaluate, my entire career. But, at the same time, I'm excited for, this opportunity that I have, and, I can only speak to how I feel, and I wrote about that in my social media the other day, and this was getting to be a free agent, and having the opportunity to join the Bucks was something that I was really excited about, and that's where we're at. That's why we're at where we're at.
So again, hi, Rhodey, Maz. Hi, Rhodey. I can't control what other people say, so that's as close as Brady got to, answering that question, which was a good question. Robert Kraft has been saying if Tom wanted to stay, we'd have a deal. And so Bolin asked him, is Robert Kraft's depiction accurate? That's a good question, fairly direct.
And well phrased. Yeah, he asked it the right way. I mean, because he did. He asked him whether he agreed with Kraft's assessment.
If I were on the thing, and it gets so easy for me because I'm not on the thing, but I would have jumped in there and said, just point blank, did you want to stay? Sometimes the best questions are just the simplest,
of course.
Did you want to stay? And he wouldn't have answered it. He would have, I'm not going to go into the past. Like, I know what he would have done with it. But I don't know. Sometimes that's your best crack, right? Just straight to it. Did you want to stay? Did he want to stay?
No. No. He also, the more listening to this, because I only listened to it once through when it happened, but he just doesn't sound pumped to be a Buck at all. And I get it. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this has got to be jarring. After 20 years, this is all you've ever known. But still, I don't know. Can't you fake it a little in your introductory press conference? It's not like you got cameras on you. You're at home.
So can I give you the translation of that answer that Brady gave Ben Volen?
You got it.
I'll give you what the translation was. Ben, are you kidding me? They had 2 years to sign me. Two freaking years, Ben. And now all of a sudden, it's if I wanted to stay, we would have worked it out. I'd been there for 2 years. They never got off their asses. Why should I go to them now? That's what he wanted to say.
Kind of wish he did. I don't kind of wish he did. Of course we wish
great.
He did. But fine, if he's not going to, we'll put the words in his mouth. That's what he meant.
Yep.
Back with your thoughts, Adam and Lowell. Hi.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I agree with you. I was kind of hoping to take the low road and air some grievances when they said, what could have made you stay? And you'd say something like, well, I'm no coach or GM, but, maybe not bench our best defensive player in the Super Bowl, maybe not jerk around the quarterback after he came off an MVP season, maybe franchise tag left tackle instead of replacing him with a first-round bust. maybe, you know, draft any talented wide receivers or tight ends at all because it seems like they're just frankly incapable of it. And, you know, things like that. And also maybe promote guys like Brian Flores instead of your jerk son to positions of power in the franchise. Thanks, guys.
Okay. But do any of us think that's why he left?
No.
I mean, all those things are true. Brady's been aggravated. We've heard this many times. Aggravated by some of the personnel moves. Aggravated by what he was surrounded by. I'm sure
there a more accurate real answer would be like, well, maybe Bill could have stopped acting like a knob.
I mean,
something like that.
Like, if they want me to come back and keep taking team-friendly deals, how about improve conditions? So, like, it starts with the deal. It starts with the deal. If they gave him a market deal, he'd put up with all the crap and all the things Adam's talking about. But if they want him to take a discount, it got to a point where he was no longer put up with that crap. And that's what I think it came down to. But it starts with the contract. Let's grab Andrew on Cape Cod. He's up next. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. I just want to say real quick, right? Everybody's a buck. That's disgusting. Like, you would say, Falcon, oh, it's disgusting. This reminds me of Michael Jordan.
Right? That phone is just not going to cut it. Not even close. It's not Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was out of the game 3 years. People forget this. Like, he didn't just go from winning his sixth title to freaking the Wizards. He was out 3 years, and he was cashed when he came back. Tom Brady is still a viable, elite NFL quarterback, and he's just 2 years removed from his last championship. There's no comparison to that one, Maz.
No, not at all. And look, I do think that a lot of how this is perceived ultimately is going to depend on how Brady plays down there and how the Bucs do. Even if he has one great year down there, I think it'll go down as similar to what Montana did in leaving the Niners. I think it's, well, he went to Kansas City and he went to an AFC championship game. Joe Montana's time in Kansas City is not looked upon as a disaster the way some other quarterbacks finished in secondary markets. And then, you know, after having Hall of Fame careers, be it Namath, Unitas, et cetera, et cetera. I think a lot of Brady's decision is going to be framed by how they and he play.
Yeah, but the only thing at stake for him is this sort of sour taste of you hung on too long. Like, no one's going to go back and say he wasn't the greatest, right? I think on Belichick, just to get back to this legacy conversation, if Belichick falls on his face here, I think people will go back and say, you weren't anything. You were just made by the quarterback. And people are going to go back and rewrite his success here in New England, where I don't think that'll happen to Tom Brady. I think people just say that he's old and he hung on too long, and that was unfortunate that he pushed it too long. But that doesn't take away from what he was during that time. I think people will try and take away from Bill what he was during this time.
Yeah, why?
Why? Because they don't like him.
Yeah.
Because they don't like him. And I think you were right to bring that up last week. People are looking go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, to me, that's the big difference. And say what you will about Brady, and there were times where Brady should have opened his mouth over the years, and he should have dug in on a contract, and he should have done it a hell of a lot earlier than he did now. But people that deal with Brady like him. Generally speaking, everyone thinks he's a class guy, he's a gentleman, he's all of those things, whereas they look at Belichick and say, he wouldn't take a leak on you if you were on fire.
Okay. I think Guy in Boston happens to be one of those people, aren't you, Guy?
You're very right, Michael, because I want to talk about egos. You keep mentioning Brady's ego. How about Belichick? Did you see a thing with Phil Perry, and he says he asked Bill Belichick at a conference at the last time, and Belichick said, well, I could do that because I'm the head coach. That's ego. And if you think the Patriots are going to be any good this year, you watch Fantasy Island, the plane. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I think Bill's ego is massive. I think they're all. I think you're dealing with, you know, three big egos. I think Brady's is the smallest of the three, but it, you know, made a late charge here down the home stretch. I'll put it to you like that. That Brady's ego became more and more of a factor as we came on. But Bill's ego is massive, and I think Robert's ego is through the freaking roof. And at least Brady Belichick had gotten in the way. And that kind of sucks. I think that kind of sucks. Here's David. Let's grab Vic in Virginia. Vic, you're up next. Hi, Vic.
Hey, guys. Bill has so much to prove going forward. He's going to have to start from the bottom. No free agents are going to come. He's not going to open the checkbook. So what do we do from here?
Okay.
What's the draw?
You're so wrong about no free agents coming here. You're so wrong about that. You may not get some guys on a discount or maybe like – maybe the Darrelle Revis figure won't treat this as the just one-off chance to rehabilitate yourself and get the ring and then go somewhere else. Like, maybe a spot guy here or there. But I just think people have this so wrong, so wrong. Money, opportunity, and they will go anywhere. They go to Buffalo, they go to Green Bay, they go to Indianapolis, they go to every armpit in this country and every bad franchise in this country if you offer them the money and the playing time. And you will just be, you will be on that list of teams with the greatest coach of all time. Okay? And if, you know, if Bill, you know, goes 4-12 the next 2 years, that shine will go. But you will still get players. Make no mistake. And I think that's just totally overplayed.
So, Mike, my only concern there, though, is that the Patriots don't have a history of throwing money around. Now, look, I'm not saying they've never done it. Stephon Gilmore is here. Adelius Thomas came here. So they certainly can change their ways if the situation demands it. And I don't entirely rule that out because you do what you need to do. But I do think that in the absence of that and in the absence of Brady, because I think that, again, players, I think, play for players. I think that that could, the money part of it could be tough for them to overcome.
Yeah, maybe. And I'm not telling you it's a zero, like Brady's a factor. I just think it's overplayed, Maz. We've gone back and forth on this several times. I just think it's overstated. His role on getting free agents to come here and taking less. I think it's happened on a few occasions, but on balance, It's been overplayed. I mean, let me give an example. Is Jadeveon Clowney still a free agent?
He is, yes.
He is,
yes.
Right? Okay, so let's say there's no big deal out there for Jadeveon Clowney, right? There's none. The market didn't come in for him. He's not going to get the big, you know, $40 million guaranteed, $100 million deal, and he has to go back and sort of prove it for a year and then go back to the market next year. And he has to choose between coming to New England and playing for Bill Belichick and going, you name it, to Arizona. You don't think you get him over Arizona, where he gets a chance to come to play for Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick will use him right, and you don't think there's some allure there?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know for him particularly, because yeah, he's kind of a dog.
Okay, well, I mean,
I know what you mean.
Okay,
like,
so,
I mean,
so
I
just picked a name. Question, is the money even in those two places? Is that what you're saying?
Well, what if it's a one-year prove-it deal? You know, he's not going to get the big money anywhere, and that's becoming clear. And you know what? I just picked his name because he's free. Pick another name. Harry Schmedlap. Joe Blow. I don't care. That guy who's got the one-year prove-it deal on defense, and he wants to have a good year and then go to the market next year, and who would he attach himself to? Is he going to attach himself to Cliff Kingsbury or Bill Belichick?
So I think, I'll tell you what. I think there's a chance. You're going to think I'm crazy for saying this. Instinct says Belichick. Okay, but I don't know. Arizona just added DeAndre Hopkins. Who's more likely to be playing big games at the end of the year? I'm not convinced it's the Patriots and a landslide in that one.
I still think Bill's... No, I just tell you, Bill's going to get his guys. He's going to get some guys. How does Bill win this? How does Bill lose this? Let's hit on that. And Maz has some thoughts about how Bill has managed the roster as well and his power that he has right now. All of that coming after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.